Today I'm here to present our research that has been developed in Auburn University in partnership with the Chile's Lab, RAS USDA. Our research is titled A New Spin on an Old Crop for Bioenergy Sorghum. As an introduction, I just want to start talking about the fossil fuels. Fossil fuels, as everybody knows, is the primary world energy source in the world. And year by year, the demand of fossil fuels is increasing. And here in the United States, this trend is not different. The United States is becoming dependent of other countries to supply its soil demand. And this just brings to this country some problems. For example, economic problems, because the balance trade becomes negative, the dollar value decreases, and so we have economic recessions. And also I can see some political problems, because everybody knows that most part of the oil that is imported by this country comes from unstable parts of the world. So, in our opinion, the solution is to use biofuels as an energy source to replace oil, because biofuels can bring security of energy supply for this country, because it's renewable and can be produced inside of the United States, and is also environmentally improved because it can diminish climate change. The U.S. government just set the U.S. Energy Independence and Security Act of 2007, where the objectives are reduce oil foreign dependence, producing 36 billion gallons of biofuels in 2022, reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and also increase economic opportunities in this country. But the way that the United States is going to increase this biofuels production can affect result in other problems, such as negative effects on living conditions by land competition, changes in local environment, and also implications for food market, because the yield for food might be redirected to fuel production. So, in our opinion, the best alternative is the biofuels need to come from cellulosic material, where the crop residues can be used for fuel production and the grains that can continue flowing to food production. And so in this context, I present to you sorghum as a cellulosic material source. I can see some advantages of sorghum. It is high biomass, that has high biomass potentials, well-established seed industry. It's drought-tolerant, nematode-resistant, reduced nitrogen use, can be rotated with other drought-resistant crops such as cotton, and is flexible because it's an annual crop, so year by year the farmers can think and continue with sorghum or just swap to a new culture, depending market and everything. And here in the United States, we have two areas that's suitable for sorghum, the Middle East and the Southeast, where my research is located. So, the objectives of our research is evaluate sorghum and corn biomass quantity and quality for potential biofuels production, determine the effect of tillage and irrigation on sorghum and corn biomass production. Our field was settled in Eve Smith Research Center, field crops. The soil that we have is a Marvin, and it was previously cropped with cotton for 7 years in a conservation tillage. This field stay in Alabama State, close to Shorter City. Our experimental design is a strip split plot design where I have three different treatments. First, irrigation. I have two different irrigation treatments that are irrigated fields, 25 millimeters of water applied per week, basically, and no irrigated fields, just basically rain fed. We have four different cultures that I want to just talk a little bit more specific after, and two different tillage systems. A conservation tillage that is subsoiling in row, 35 centimeters deep, using a KMC equipment, and a conventional system that is total area disked 15 centimeters deep, and after a rotary equipment was applied just to make the soil homogeneous. About our crops. First one that I want to see is the corn that you are cropping just to compare with sorghum. The corn that we are using is the Pioneer 31G65. That's a drought-tolerant corn, forage corn, that has a median grain production but a high biomass production. And the three sorghums that I am using, the first one is the grain sorghum, as we call the NK300. It's most used for grain production, but can be used for forage production, is small plants, as you can see, but is dense in biomass due to high quantity of leaves. When used as forage, they are considered a high grain protein content due to high good grain production. Is drought tolerant also? The literature say that it has medium drought tolerance. The next one is the Sucra sorghum 506 that we call forage sorghum. It's tall plants, drought resistant, and high biomass production, and also has medium sugar content. And finally, the last sorghum, the photoperiosensitive sorghum, the 1990. This sorghum is drought tolerant, has high biomass potentials also. And this sorghum, we will start the anthesis, stop the vegetative stage, just when the days starts to be 12 hours and 20 minutes, or in other words, shorter than that, 12 hours and 20 minutes. And in our condition in Alabama, we think that this sorghum will never start the flowering. In other words, this sorghum in all the season will be in vegetative stage, and so it might produce more biomass than the others. The data that we are collecting above ground dry matter in three different periods. 18 weeks after planting, 14 weeks, 18 weeks, and 24 weeks after planting. And from this kind of data, we can have information about dry biomass yield, that's basically the quantity of biomass that you are producing, and fibers content, that is the quality of this biomass that you are producing, due to cellulose, hemicellulose, lignin, and ash content information. Now moving to results. Let's talk about dry matter yield, the quantity of biomass that we are producing. As you can see, irrigated fields produce more biomass than non-irrigated fields. That's not a secret. In any period and for all crops. But tillage, the two different tillage that I'm trying, does not show significant difference from each other. When we talk about cultures, in the three different harvest period that I have, as I just went out to the 2 points here. First, in light green we have the forage sorghum, in the dark green we have the photoperiod sensitive sorghum. As you can see, the photoperiod sensitive sorghum in dark green just overcome the forage sorghum after 18 weeks after plant. And also, as you can see, the forage sorghum has a higher biomass production than in other periods in 24 weeks after planting. But if you look to the other cultures, you can see that the other ones has the same potential production in all periods that we have. So in other words, the photoperiod sensitive sorghum showed that he has a potential to grow more and produce more biomass if you keep this plant longer in field. The other ones, just 14 weeks, show no statistical difference from the others. We also found some effect, interaction between cultures and irrigation. And if you realize, this interaction is based to forage sorghum and photo sorghum in 14 weeks and 18 weeks after plant. But in my opinion, this table has too much information to discuss now. So what we did is just to put this information in a table that, in my opinion, is easier to figure out what's going on. So this table shows different recommendations based on harvest time and irrigation regime. So if you're going to draw some recommendations for biomass production, if you want to harvest 14 weeks after plant in irrigated condition, the best option is the forage sorghum. But if you want a no irrigation condition, we can have forage sorghum or photoperiod sensitive sorghum to be cropped. Now, moving for 18 weeks after planting, now in irrigated conditions, we have the photoperiod sensitive sorghum as the best option, but still, forage and photoperiod sensitive sorghum, the options if you are using no irrigated conditions in Alabama. And moving for 24 weeks after planting, as I told before, photoperiod-sensitive sorghum has a higher potential in produced biomass in longer periods. As you can see, for both water regimes, we have photoperiod-sensitive sorghum as recommendation. Now let's talk a little bit about the dry matter quality. First, let's talk about total fibers plus ash content. As you can see, the photoperiod sensitive sorghum show higher content, followed by forage sorghum, corn, and grain sorghum. When we are talking just about the holocellulose, that's the desirable part. In other words, cellulose and hemicellulose. They are desirable because those fibers can be broken in carbohydrates, and so we can produce ethanol from that. You can see that the photoperiod sensitive sorghum show higher content than the rest. Now, talking about the undesirable part, that is lignin and ash content. Lignin is undesirable because it's the fiber that cannot be broken in carbohydrates in order to produce ethanol, and also can mask the holocellulose. And ash content is undesirable when we are trying to produce energy in a thermal way, burn this biomass to produce energy, because high the ash content, less the efficiency of the process. As you can see, the forage sorghum show higher contents than the photoperiod, followed by the grain sorghum and corn. But if you realize, they are significant statistical difference. But those differences in practice for all the quality that I show is less than 5% in content. So they are minor in practice. So conclusions about the dry matter yield, the quantity of biomass produced. Irrigation increased biomass production in any cultures harvest period. Photoperiod sensitive sorghum showed the greatest biomass potential, and I'm just outstood this value, that is how much we can produce in 24 weeks after plant. We have different recommendations according to harvest period and irrigation regime, as I showed in that table before. And tillage system did not affect the biomass production, but conservation system was recommended because field compaction and erosion were reduced using conservation technology. Now, about the dry matter quality. I discussed with you in a show that depending the kind of fiber, we have different conclusions. But these statistical differences are minor because they are less than 5% in content. So in other words, dry matter quality of all culture was not different in practice, in our opinion. So the overall conclusion is dry matter yield was considered the key factor in order to select the crop that we are going to use to produce biomass. And again, I just recall this table that, in my opinion, is the most useful data that we have in our research. So it was my presentation. Questions are welcome. Yes? Yes. The same row spacing for corn and sorghum, but different populations for the three sorghums that I have and corn. I don't remember now from right now the numbers, but I can just check and tell you after. But I think that for sorghum, I can say that's almost 10 times more than corn. Something like that. The plants is pretty close together. Oh, are you asking about laboratory analysis? Okay, we did like the neutral detergent fibers. First, when we were preparing the biomass, we just take the dry samples that we have. And so we used the oil mill in 1 millisecond. You just chop this biomass and send to laboratory analysis. And so I don't know specific right now, but first we need to make the solution and separate the soluble part from the insoluble part by the neutral detergent fibers. And after that, using different acids, we go breaking. First, we remove the, I think, hemicellulose, and so it stays the cellulose and lignin together. And with another acid that's stronger, we can separate those two. And after, with another part of the sample, we just leave burning in oven, and so we can determine the quantity of ash. Yes. In theory, yes, we can produce if the sorghum is in some area that the days will be shorter than 12 hours and 20 minutes. And so by hormones playing and everything, this grain can come up. But I don't think that this sorghum will be too much useful for grain production because it's too much tall, and if you leave too much time in field, we can have some lodging problems. This biomass can start to fall down.
Okay, next time you want to speak again.
Thank you.